following podcast has adult themes and some strong language.
Have you ever tried to research Neanderthal? I don't mean as a scientist or historian. I mean as a person with a slight interest in evolution. You have three choices. You can Google it, study it, or you can spend a Saturday night in Cardiff. Whatever way, it's hard work and mostly confusing. For revision purposes, Neanderthals were a species or subspecies of archaic humans in a genus Homo that became extinct about 40,000 years ago. Neanderthals and modern humans share 99.7% of their DNA and so are closely related. They may or may not have mated with modern humans. They may have been hunters or scavengers. They may have lived longer than scientists originally thought. What we do know is Neanderthals are now extinct and modern humans survived. Was it, in Darwinian terms, the survival of the fittest? Did humans introduce a virus that the Neanderthal immune system couldn't cope with? Or did we literally just kill them all? Either way, it explains what we already know. Human beings can be a bunch of bastards. My name is Jessica J. Garner, and this is my life. Hello, and welcome to my podcast. It was time. The whole world and their gran has one. My mate Jason James's gran has got a great one too. The Golden Beaver. Because she's old and Canadian. Since the thinking of doing this, it was going to be the Jessica J. Garner podcast. Then I realised people would think, who the bleep is Jessica J. Garner and why should I care? Then I wanted to call it Everybody Lies, because according to the TED website, we lie to 10 to 20 times a day. Then I thought people would just think it's a watch party podcast about the TV programme House, which in retrospect may have been a better idea. Then I thought about Hot Mess Jess, but that wouldn't work because I'm not hot, not a mess, and I couldn't buy the domain name. So here it is. Excuse the Jess. Like, excuse the mess, but yeah, I know you got it. I thought it was great until I spent the money on the marketing, but now I know there must have been a better one. Still, getting ahead of myself here, I'll start at the beginning. My name is Jessica J. Garner, which I know I've already told you. The J stands for Jodie. No, I know Jessica Jodie doesn't go together. Wish someone had told my mother. Still, could have been worse. My name could have been Marie or Jimmy Osmond or Bay City Rollers are the best. I'm from Cardiff, UK, and if I'm honest, getting a little bored of it. And not just because I haven't been able to leave here for a year. Yes, it's a fantastic city, and yes, we're all wonderful, welcoming people, blah, blah, blah. It's just, I suppose, I always thought I wouldn't stay here, and I'm not talking about my house. I have spent all my life here, and I've recently realised the chances are I will die here. I didn't go places as I promised myself. Even my mother travelled from Ireland to here, to Australia. If I was going places, though, it wouldn't be Australia. Sun, sea, sand. My mother and stepfather, no chance. I'm old or young, depending on your viewpoint. And my viewpoint is, I'm old. Whenever anyone talks about Kylie on the TV and mags, I automatically think, Minogue. Not sure if I would know Jen if she poked me in the eye with her eyeliner. I'm not saying she would, or maybe she would, I don't know. I'm in my 40s and was brought up to believe this is where life begins. Although this was because your children are grown up and you and your partner could have your life back. I don't have children or a husband. I have never been married. There is just me. One is the Magic Number podcast. More importantly, I am in lockdown. A health condition has rendered me a vulnerable adult. It's strange, though, and something I never thought of myself as. I mean, I work full-time, have had pretty good social life and was never bored. But some bat crazy shit comes out and suddenly I'm told I should stay inside indefinitely. I suppose this is where the commitment to doing this podcast has come from. My way of getting back out into the world, one sentence at a time. Time for some inspiration. It was Theodore Roosevelt who said, "Believe you can and you're halfway there." Take that in for a moment. Believe you can and you're halfway there. I believe I can. Let's see how that works out. Right, first of all, this is not going to be pandemic central. I will say a little bit about it later, but honestly, even when I talk about it out loud, it doesn't seem real. I've never considered myself particularly egocentric, but let's just talk about me. I'm an operations manager at a food factory on the outskirts of Cardiff, and I am extremely lucky to be working from home at present. I'm not going to say who the company is or give them an ad. Well, unless they pay me to. Exciting, no, but it's not a bad job and it keeps me busy. It just about pays the mortgage on my little two-bedroomed house in... No, why would I tell you that? Let's just say Cardiff. Apparently, I'm smart. I've an MBA in business management, which I gained while still working full-time. I have to say, I don't feel that intelligent, though. Yes, I'm cool-headed in work, but out of it, well, I called my podcast Excuse the Jess. I read a lot, but can't pretend it's all the classics. Some Austen, Bronte and Dickens in there. But I really enjoy good Stephen King or Neil Gaiman. I also like biographies, which I class under fiction. Sad confession time. I bought the first 50 Shades of Grey book. It was awful. Yeah, I still bought them all. I was looking for some quotes about new beginnings and found this one by French novelist André Gide, who said, "Everything has been said before, but since nobody listens, we have to keep going back and beginning all over again." Two things strike me here. One, I'm not the only one that thinks no one listens to me. And two, I can run a repeat of this episode in a few weeks' time and no one will know. You don't even know I've said this, do you? I still love theatre, cinema, live comedy and music. I gorge on box sets and have subscriptions with Netflix, Amazon, Apple and Now TV. It means I can watch a lot of stuff from all around the world, but if I'm honest after British, it's mainly American. Even bought an annual subscription to Disney Plus last year and immediately had a word with myself. I don't even watch kid stuff and I'm not into Star Wars. Still, it has Marvel stuff, which I've seen. But I watched WandaVision, which was great. Actually, it was pretty flipping perfect. However, I'm sure the DVD would have been cheaper. Still, I struggled for a while getting a delivery slot, so saved a fortune on food. Plus, I don't understand people who don't watch TV. How do you ever learn anything? What can we learn from television? This week, The Office. Since I decided to stay home, or that's how I'm framing it now, I went back to the office. I'm struggling to concentrate on anything longer than half an hour, so films are mostly out of the question. That's not me saying woe is me. Seriously, if that's the worst thing happening to me at the moment, I can deal with it. I digress. The Office is an old favourite of mine and I go back to them often. Both the UK and the US version. Which is better? How can I say? Well, I will, just not yet. The thing about The Office is, it's good and not fucking boring like actually working in an office. Not only have I gone back to watching, but there seems to be an office buzz at the moment. There was Ricky Gervais doing his frequent addresses to the nation. There was the John Kerensky, Steve Carell thing with the 15th anniversary of it starting. And then the cast was doing stuff like a wedding dance. Oh, and there was a book about the US office and can't forget the podcasts. In the book, they talk about the first season of the US one, though, as if it's good. And in my really humble opinion, it wasn't. I felt half the actors didn't get the characters and some of the writing didn't work. But, and a huge but here, not mine, the rest of the series was pretty much perfect. No, I take that back. I was on the Tremor one day and they showed a clips programme. I shouted to no one in particular, I might add. I know, I saw all this 3 weeks ago. I might have some anger issues. Red mess, Jess? This section, though, was supposed to be about what we can learn from TV, so Tim Canterbury, played by the brilliant Martin Freeman, is the everyman. The sensible one. The sanity and the madness. The character most relatable in the programme. I am in no way trying to second-guess the writers. I can only talk from my view from loving the programme. When we meet Tim, he's a salesperson that puts staplers in jelly. He's obviously funny and has a thing for the receptionist Dawn, but still your average man. This is shown in episode 3 when Dawn had an argument with her boyfriend. Tim is in there like a rat up a drainpipe asking her out. Dawn stays with the boyfriend, not surprising after Tim fails to leave the job he hates for an extra 500 quid a year. Tim is keen when new blood comes into the office in the form of Rachel, an attractive and outgoing woman who shares Tim's sense of humour. They're soon winding Gareth up together. Rachel is keen for Tim to meet her parents and suddenly Tim backs off. Yes, I know it had more to do with a chance kiss with Dawn, but that doesn't fit my narrative. Does he take Rachel out though and give her a full explanation of why he doesn't want to take things any further? No. He dumps her right there in the office, leaving the poor woman devastated, weeping in front of everyone as she tries to work. He is indeed the everyman. And yeah, him and Dawn got together in one of the most beautiful moments ever to be on TV, but still. So what can we learn from TV? The kindest, smartest, funniest men are always complete bastards. Oh, nobody's perfect, you decide. Finally, I did say I would state which was better, even though you shouldn't compare them because they are different and there were 201 episodes of the US one and only 14 episodes of the UK one. I'm going to anyway. The only fair way to compare is using the 14 episodes of The Office UK and the first 14 episodes of the US one. So therefore, the British version is the best. Yeah, you saw that one coming. I've been thinking about doing an icebreaker, like those sad things that executives and corporates do to help colleagues get to know each other better. You know the ones where they all stand around and watch while the serfs do their bidding. I googled 10 icebreaking questions, so let's just get through this. 1. Who is your hero? I don't have one. 2. If you could live anywhere, where would you live? New York. 3. What is your biggest fear? I think I'm living it. 4. What is your favourite family vacation? Family vacation, really? 5. What would you change about yourself if you could? Everything? 6. What really makes you angry? Again, everything, and what a bloody stupid question. 7. What is your favourite thing about your career? It's not a career, it's a job. 8. What is your proudest accomplishment? Making it to Friday every week without handing my notice in. 9. What is your child's proudest accomplishment? I don't have children and it's fucking presumptuous to think I have. Don't even get me started on that one. 10. What makes you laugh the most? When someone says I look nice. Maybe you can learn a lot from them. I am back, and it occurs to me I'm rambling on, feeling my way through this week. There will be actual content in the next edition, please listen. Just important though, we start the conversation. I did ponder on whether to say what I look like. I'm not sure I have to, because in the grand scheme of life, looks aren't important, but they actually are. I don't know what I'm trying to say either. Clear as Mud Podcast. So, here goes. I am short, about 5'3". It's a pain both literally and figuratively, as I must wear heels most of the time. It's a blessing though in cinemas, theatres, aeroplanes and for disappearing into a crowd. I am fat or slim, depending on your viewpoint, and an average size 12. I have a treadmill in my spare bedroom and I'm fighting to stay this size. I was both blessed and cursed with curves. My dark hair is quite long because it desperately needs a cut, and I'm trying to pass for 35. My eyes are brown. Every part of looking presentable is bloody hard work, and I'm constantly trying. Hair seems to come from nowhere on my body. One day my eyebrows are tamed, and the next they look like a 90-year-old man's. The hair on my head has a life of its own and goes wavy when it rains. Good job I'm not living in a place where it rains all the time then. I am not pretty and probably wouldn't describe myself as attractive. My friends tell me I'm attractive, but, you know, they would, wouldn't they? Ben also tells me that. More Ben later. Right, that's the awkward bit out of the way. Cringe with Jess Podcast. There are two people I love most in the world, but not in the biblical sense. They're the only people allowed to call me JJ. They're my friends, Izzy and Ems. Ems and I met when we were at uni. She's been married twice, now to Simon. She has two children, one beautiful girl, well, woman now, from the first marriage, and the other one, Samuel, who is the son of Satan. No, I'm not joking. He stares at you with those pale blue eyes, and it literally takes your breath away. Izzy's thoughts are, as Simon is a good guy, there's a tiny possibility the child is not Satan's son. She thinks he's just a demon, Satan's representative on earth. 5 years Izzy and I have been living with this information, and it doesn't get any easier. We could be seeing his influence presently. Just before all this started, he demanded his mother stay home with him all the time. It could be any day now that we see the four horsemen of the apocalypse riding high above the Welsh hills. Don't say you weren't warned. Izzy and her partner Jason James couldn't have kids. She says it's preferable to having a child like Samuel. She's joking, of course, because it breaks her heart. Lastly, Ben. Ben is my friend, kind of. He's the type of buddy I meet on a night and we go back to his place. You know, friends with benefits. Except he's not my friend. It will never be more. I never stay the night. And although we connect on a certain level, that's it. That's been difficult lately, but that's for another time. As you can see, all my basic needs are met. I have a goodish job, a nice home, people I love, and so I am doing brilliantly. I thought I'd better explain how this podcast came to be. I consider myself a bit of a creative person. Not that I've ever shown this. I just love a good book and indulge in a bit of short story and poetry writing. Feel better for doing it. My mindset is better. I mean, I don't love exercise, but I do it for the mindset and a bit out of guilt. However, writing for me is a form of meditation, and I can be taken out of myself without a lot of deep breathing and trying to clear the mind. That stuff I'm not so good at. When I read, I can immerse myself in that world. I do the same when I'm writing. I'm not saying I'm good at it, but I enjoy it. However, life's been getting in the way and I found myself doing it less, until I stopped. I got into the habit of getting in from work, eating, collapsing in front of the TV, and that was my life pretty much, except all that changed last year, when there was no coming in from work. I'm not saying I was unhappy, but I wasn't happy. It came to New Year's Eve again, which seemed to be popping up at a rate of every month, well, unless you count March 2020, which lasted approximately 4 years. Anyway, Izzy said to me about making resolutions. I gave the boar an adage that I'm giving up, giving up. The resourceful minx wouldn't let that go. She asked if I was still writing. I admitted not. Then Ems and Izzy got into a tirade. Why not? I'm should. I'm happy doing it. They like to read it. You know, blah, blah, blah. They basically ganged up on me and on Zoom to add insult to injury. Yes, we can be insulted in our own homes now, even when there's no one else there. The irony is, if I hadn't let Em move in when she separated from her ex-husband, then she never would have known about the writing and told Izzy. Remember, no good deed goes unpunished. To get them off my back, I told him I would give up chocolate for the month of January. I didn't, but they didn't know that. However, they do know me well, and after that, they got me thinking that I should. I should do something for myself that relaxes me, is not passive, and doesn't require a pair of Lycra leggings. I started writing a short story in the first week of January. By the second week, I was fed up with work and back to my old routine. However, I knew it was something I needed to do, like clean the oven, but nicer. What I needed was a method to commit to it. That's when I bought a website to do a blog. Then I just needed to choose what it was going to be about and write it. I remembered my old English teacher saying, write about what you know best. So being a jack of all trades, but a master of none, I decided to just talk about me. Maybe someone will find it interesting. A single British 40-something woman trying to get on in this mad, sad, crazy world. Kind of like Bridget Jones, but without the narcissism. Cigarette smoked nil, because I don't smoke. Calories, about a gazillion at the moment. I started my blog and stopped, and then started again and stopped. This went on a few times. I wasn't convinced that my personality was shown in the style of writing, and I began getting hung up on grammar. It was then I hit upon the bright idea about doing a podcast instead. A mixture of writing and freestyle. Much easier, right? Wrong. Now I've had to learn a whole new craft, producing a podcast. Even then I've got the same hang-ups, actually more of them. But the time, at least I have the time. Never let it be said I don't know how to jump on a bandwagon. So my final bit this week will be a quote from Ricky Gervais. The best advice I ever received is, no one else knows what they're doing either. Bear that in mind with my first podcast. Garner your enthusiasm. That should have been it. That's enough from me. It just leaves me to say, please come back. I'm not needy or anything, but please. Also, a lot of this stuff is from the internet. And did you know, the internet can lie? You can find me on Instagram at excusejess, and please let's do this again soon.
Excuse the Jess was written and performed by Jackie J. Sarah. It is a Deliciously Bright production. If you enjoyed this, please click follow and give us a 5-star review, or donate via Buy Me a Coffee. All details, including full credits, can be found on the website, excusethejess.com.